we prepare our hearts to move into this message today. The title of today's message is The Mind of Repentance. The Mind of Repentance. Without spiritual strength, we will be overcome. Without being mentally strong, we will be overcome. And without the mind of Christ, we will be prepared or positioned to have deception rule our thinking and rule the steps of our lives. The mind that we allow to dwell in us matters greatly. For the church is called to have the mind of Christ. And before we can have the mind of Christ, we must endure with that mind of repentance. And my question to the church today is this: with the mind of Christ, the chaos and the confusion that is stirring in this world, with the mind of Christ, we will be able to perceive it and press forward through it without missing the steps that God has ordained for us. Meaning this: we do not have to fear the Antichrist. We do not have to fear that which is warring all around us. And the question I would ask to the church today, and I ask this of myself: are you prepared for what is coming? Are you prepared for what is coming? I heard the other day an announcement that one of the most fierce fighters known to humanity is getting ready to step back in the ring. And I think you know who he is. His name is Mike Tyson. Now, as a young man watching Mike Tyson fight, they say don't mention movies and sermons, but I can't help but do this. Because I grew up in the mid-70s, and the big movie was Rocky, right? Y'all don't remember that. Y'all maybe weren't born then. And I still remember, it may have been the second movie of that series, I still remember Clubber Lane, right? And I still remember that classic shot where they came up to him, they were interviewing him, and I didn't realize at the time, they always shot the camera below him because he's not a real super tall guy, but the movie made him out to look, you know, taller than he was. And they went up to him with the microphone and they said, "Clubber, what is your strategy for this fight?" And y'all remember it? He looked, he said, "Pain." And I still remember that. It brought chills to me when he said it. It was just a movie. Pain. Well, when I would see Mike Tyson fight, it reminded me of somebody like a Clubber Lane. The guy was fierce in how he fought, and in ways I don't even want to talk about today. I think you will remember. Well, he's coming back in the ring. Now, Mike, over the years, has gained some weight. He's had that midlife spread. But now, guess what? He's all in shape, and he's ready to step back in the ring. Why is he ready to step back in the ring? Because he knows a fight is coming, right? So no longer are the donuts there for him. And the stuff that's going to put on the weight, he's wanting to put on the muscle. Why? Because he knows a fight is coming. Well, here's a question for all of us at Capital City Church. Now, I have a confession to make. When I went to Bible college, I took a course called eschatology. And it was a course that was going to reveal to you what would happen in the last days. And so I was all excited about going to that class, learning about biblical prophecy and learning about when Jesus was going to come back. And I still remember entering that class, and I've shared this before. They handed me a textbook that was written by three authors. One was pre-trib position, meaning the church would be raptured out before the seven-year tribulation. Another author within that same book wrote about the mid-trib position, that after the first 3.5 years, the church would be raptured out, and then all the calamity would kick loose. Because we know this, the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to woo the world with his wisdom, and things will get better on the carnal, now let me put it this way, on the government side, meaning that people are going to see prosperity in ways through his advice and his leadership. But the wrath of God is coming. And we know in Scripture, 3.5 years in, it's going to turn up in ways that we don't even want to think about. So there was also another author in this book that wrote about the post-trib, meaning this, that we as believers were going to go through all of the trial and tribulation, and we would not have an escape. And it looks like this, that when the wrath of God comes upon this earth, Jesus came as the Lamb the first time. The second time he comes as the Lion. And the fullness of God's wrath is going to befall the foolishness of this world. And it's this image. The church endures through the tribulation with the special grace of God's protection that will keep us and grow us in this calamity. But in this calamity, some of us will be what? Martyred. Some of us will be placed in prison. Some of us will die for our faith. And then I liken that to the history of the church, and all of those things have happened before, correct? All of them have happened before. So here's the thing. If I am a believer of the pre-trib rapture, then I'm not going to get ready for a fight, am I? Because I'm in this mindset that I'm not going to have to worry about that. That I'm going to be exited out, so I'm not going to have to toughen up and get ready for the fight that's coming. So I'll eat them donuts. I'll get that spiritual flab. And I will not be filled with the mind that Christ wants me to have. The world will enamor me because I'm not so much worried about having to be tough to stand. Now let me ask you this. I don't even know who Mike Tyson is fighting, but whoever he's fighting, would he not prefer to say, Mike, stay on the diet that you were on prior to training and come in that ring, you know, with those extra pounds. That'll make me feel better. What do you think? He said, yeah. He probably paid some money for that to happen, right? Who wants to face Mike Tyson in good shape at any age? I don't think many people do. So the enemy, how clever it would be if he could make the church feel, you ain't going to go through the hard stuff. Just cruise. Stay tender. Eat them spiritual donuts. Take the message that feels best to your carnal ear. Because you ain't got to worry about it. You're going to go out of here. Now, I taught that and have taught that for years. Because I stood as a pre-tribber. But I've had people challenge me over the years with that. And I know this. Any three of those positions, somebody with biblical savvy can make a case for all three. But we know this. Only one is true. And it could be a disputable matter, but this is something about this disputable matter. It's a very dangerous one. Because if I don't see the hell that is coming, I will not be prepared for when it arrives. And so here is where I want to encourage us this morning. Are you prepared for what is coming? As your pastor, as a shepherd, it is my responsibility to give heed to the enemies that await. And if I don't do that, if I'm so fearful I'm going to offend someone, I need to quit now and just go, as I've said for years, dig potatoes. For I know the day that we live in is a day that many will fall away from their faith in Jesus Christ and embrace a faith that is called Christianity, but it is not. It is appeasement doctrine. It is the doctrine that is seated to make the heart of man content in his carnalness. When all along God's saying, church, I put you here not that you will fail, but that you will succeed. And I'm telling the congregation with all sincerity, with my fallibility, we may endure through the tribulation. So if we're poised to think that we're going to be snatched out before the heat is turned up, don't bank on that. Be like Mike. Get ready for the fight. Put the donuts down. Pick up the weights. Run the race and get ready for what's coming. For if we do not get ready for what's coming, we will be overcome. We will be the apostate church, not the enduring church. So here's a question. What has 2020 done to your faith? What has it done to your faith? Are you more intense in your pursuit of your relationship with God, or have you been lulled to sleep by that which is encircling and encamping around us? If all it takes is the fear of a virus to keep the church from gathering, then that church will not endure until the end. Now hear me out. Over history, the church gathered in the face of all dangers. They knew, if I am connected in this assembly, my head may be removed from my body. So in this time where government has reached into our gathering, God is looking for a people that will stand up and do what his will is greater than what their personal will is. And I'm putting it this way. I have never been, and you may think different, I've never been a political preacher, never. You know one reason I haven't? Because I feel if truth is taught, people will know how to align politically. But that's not always the case. Because we have options that are of humanity that we can vote for. And all of them are fallible, flawed men and women. Okay? But now, the government is reaching its evil hand into the church. What do you want your pastor to do? Be numbed and fearful and go along with whatever the state says? Or do you want your pastor to love God enough to tell you the truth of what the Spirit of God is revealing to him? I would hope it would be the latter. That is my hope. And here's the thing. If Christians can sit idly by when churches are told to lock the doors, don't allow anyone in, and shut yourself down, and we're content with that, there's a problem. I saw a video of a pastor, this great guy in California, been at this church 40 years, and when I was watching this pastor, his heart had been poured out for 40 years in this church in California. And their goal was, we're going to reach our whole city. And they built a sanctuary that seats probably about 3,000 people. They have a fleet of buses that goes all over the city to pick people up so they can come. They focus in on children as well, and they bless them. They bless them so much so that they developed a Christian school from K to 12 that was fulfilling educational and spiritual needs of people from all of the community. And right now, today, they were told, you do not meet. Your doors are to be locked. Why? Because you're not doing things the way we think you should do it. And what were they asking? No singing. X amount of people, 6 feet apart, mask on. They followed all of that. But it wasn't enough. It was not enough. So the state came in and began to post ordinances and fines on their front door of their church and taped it. And right now, that pastor that has given his life and that congregation that has given their life to reaching others with the love of Christ are fined $50,000 a week for meeting. And the state came to them and said, well, you can meet outside, but don't sing. If we're content with that, what else will we be content with? This pastor knows, and his grandchildren know, if he continues to meet, handcuffs are poised for him. Oh, it goes further than that. Every person that comes into that church will be fined $1,000 a person. From who? The state. That is not freedom. That is a ploy to shut down the voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a sign that the Antichrist is alive and well and pouring forth his purposes and his plans through those that we elect to govern us. Will the church sit idly by as the Antichrist comes in the spirit? Now hear this out. Not just the man, but the spirit that has vested itself within the heart of those, again, that we've elected to lead us. I refuse to sit idly by and allow the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he died to give us, be taken away. We sit silent. We vote yay. And the day, the day of thinking that our government is all about our good, those days are behind us. We could meet here. We could celebrate without fear. And that's going on right now. We're here in liberty, right? Can we thank God for that? We're here in liberty. Thank God for that. Thank God. We are here in liberty, but not in California. Not in California. Spiritually ready is what God is asking of us. Because we may not get an early exit. And if my faith is conditioned by the governance of the country that I live in, forgive me, O God. Forgive me, O God. We must be mentally prepared for what is coming. And we are promised that we can have the mind of Christ. But before the mind of Christ will ever come, we must repent. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We continue with Jesus' letters to the church. And the church in Ephesus, he now again states to them, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." Now, we talked about that last week. What is abandoning love? It's lessening. It's forsaking. It's turning from that height of love, that intensity of love that Jesus died to give us. But here, to deal with this, we see in verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen." Open the mind. Focus at the intent. Focus at what is in this mind, the thinking process, that which conditions the actions of our steps. Remember, therefore, where you have what? Fallen. It is a decline. It is a stepping away. It is a falling out of what the will of God is. And then he goes further and says, "Repent. And do the work you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Churches are closing all over our country. Churches have relegated themselves as non-essential and have willfully pulled back in their pursuit of going and spreading the gospel. Jesus makes it clear that judgment upon a nation will begin in the house of the Lord. And judgment is all about grace and mercy, because without judgment, we cannot perceive our reality. Judgment alerts us to do what that scripture says. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember why? Because there's consequences if we do not repent. Repent. What does it really mean? It's to change one's mind or purpose. You know, we enter this world with a heart that is deceptive above all things. And if we ever fool ourselves to think that it's not, we're already entrapped. But if we awaken to the fact that our heart will constantly lie to us, it will appease our thinking by its justifying of our actions. It'll make us comfortable with things that break the heart of God. To repent is to allow one's mind to change and align with the will of God. Not only the will of God, but the will of God that is fulfilled in our purpose. What fills our mind will fill our purpose. Meaning this, Does God's purpose fill our minds? It looks a lot like this. What is our purpose? Say, you know, we have all these avenues that we want to run to. I want to do this. I want to be this. I want to accomplish this. But when God looks at us, He has the highest purpose for us is that we would love God with all that is in us. And that is our high purpose. How could some other purpose distract from loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? It does. In fact, the church has even been enamored with over-focusing in on the details of their purpose that becomes higher than God's highest purpose. I got to fulfill. I got to succeed. I got to do this. I got to be somebody, right? When all along God says, my disciples love me with all of their heart, with all of their strength, with all of their mind, and with all of their soul, everything in them, they love me. And if that is not our purpose, then it is not God's purpose that's filling our mind. And you know what's so beautiful about that? When that's in place, all the other stuff's going to work out. But if that ain't in place, look out where our purpose will take us. You know how many people have cast God aside for their purpose-driven steps in the name of God? Countless. And what we're seeing today is the fruit of putting my purpose before God's purpose. And those that put self-purpose before God's purpose will not endure through these days. This is serious. The fight is on. Are we mentally ready? You know, the greatest athlete is not necessarily the one with the greatest physical strength and the greatest God-given ability to do certain things that make them excel in that sport. The one that succeeds with excellence is the one that knows the mental game. Ron, I know you know that. You played on a state championship basketball team, and you're not the tallest guy in the world, but mentally you were like 6'8 going down that court, right? Right? The mind matters. The mind matters. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Does God's purpose fill, and I'm speaking to myself, your mind? Repent is also this, to turn from sin. Does sin bring a godly disdain within you? When we have a government that says it's okay to abort babies because, you know, it's the woman's right. If we feel like the woman's right rises above the right of humanity, and we're comfortable with that, are we grieved by the murdering of millions of babies in our country in the name of women's health? Are we? That's a fair question to ask, because God does not sit by and lightly take it when babies are ripped apart within their mother's womb. He does not take that lightly, regardless of how we take it. I had someone just, again, God slapping me upside my face, woke me up this week and said, well, you know, it's an embryo. You know, when you don't like something and you don't think it's worthy, you know what you do? You make up slang names for it. You give it a term that you can easily come against. We know it. There's all kinds of nasty words that are geared towards us as people, right? Why are those words alive? Because they give someone with a sick mind and a sick heart the freedom in their sinfulness to come against us. Same is true for the precious little babies that are formed within the mother's womb. And here's the thing that just slapped me upside my face this week. When were we first introduced to Jesus? When was Jesus first revealed to humanity? At the Immaculate Conception, he is that fully man, fully God baby, was a baby at conception. So who are we to tell God that our government is higher than he is and willfully allow babies to be ripped out of mother's wombs? You know, you say, oh, you're getting political. No, I'm not. I'm getting realistic. We know this, and this is no secret. Margaret Singer was the founder of Planned Parenthood. You know what her heart was? You can read about it, it's documented. She was a racist. She hated black people. In fact, her strategy is if we put enough abortion clinics in black neighborhoods, we can alleviate, in her mind, the problem. That's historical fact. And you know that 80% of abortion clinics are where? They're in black communities. And think about who is seeding funding for them. How many millions of black babies have been ripped apart from the spirit of hatred and racism? Millions. Millions. And you know what? When we go to heaven, if we endure to the end and we get to see, we're going to be amazed at all these precious lives that man reached down and just tore apart and says, you're of no value. Are we cool with that? Are we fine with that? I'm not fine with that. So my vote will either endorse that or rebuke that. And let me say that again. My vote will nod the head of approval or disapproval. That's just a fact. Right now, God looks at America with extreme protection and extreme love. You know why? Because of the remnant of the Church of Jesus Christ. We were founded with flaws and errors galore, but we were founded originally for the purpose of liberty and freedom. The pilgrims, when they came, had an intention. We want to worship God with liberty. We're sick of England telling us how to worship God. So guess what? They came here and they established a colony. And through the journey, with all of our flaws as a country, eventually through God's grace, men arose that spoke against evil and sin. And they were not willing to appease the mindset of evil. Evil flows from the pits of hell. Righteousness flows from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And if you and I willfully accept a word higher than the Word of God, the consequences will rest upon us. I choose to trust the infallible Word of God that tells me, I knew you before you were even born. I knitted you together within your mother's womb. I destined your days. And who is man to reach in and rip and destroy that life that God ordained? Jesus was first seen at the Immaculate Conception. And the question would be, would you abort Jesus? Oh, she's unwed. Oh, it's not planned. It's just not convenient right now. It's unplanned. Imagine the thoughts that went through Joseph's mind. And the thoughts that went through the family when they started doing the math. Jesus, oh hallelujah, was fully Jesus at conception. Repent, turn from sin, or just live in its aura. Does sin bring godly disdain within you? In his church, it will. What grieves God grieves his spirit. And if his spirit is in us, it will grieve us. Guys, we're about Jesus. We're not about the state. We're not. We're about who? Jesus. We walk in oneness with Jesus. The grieving of the Holy Spirit within will cause me to repent. And then also repentance is seen as this, a mindset of turning from sin and trusting in Jesus. It's a mindset. You know, Ryan, before it ever lives out in us, it starts here. You know, the day, and you've shared some wonderful testimonies with me over the year, but the day, Ron, when you, in your mind, decided that you would follow Jesus with all of your heart, it transformed who you were because you said, not the purposes of Ron, but the purposes of Jesus Christ. And it started here, and then it filtered here, and the power of God was invited in your life. And man, life hasn't been the same, has it? And there's a reason. There's a reason. Because we are his remnant right here and right now. But we got to get it here first. We see this. The battle was being lost within the minds of the Ephesian church. Why did he address the mind and say, remember the height from which you have fallen? And it would look like this. The place that they had conditioned themselves in comfort was not the place that God wanted them to be. Well, how did it get there? It got there here first. Conditioning the mind to accept the things that are disdaining to God. Conditioning the mind that it's okay to live like this. Church, the battle is at us right now. And either we will stay on a plane of comfort or we will rise up and be ready for the gift and the plans that God has for us. I heard a preacher say the other day this, and it amazed me. He says, you know, even King David would probably like to be here right now. Or Paul would say, man, can I come and be here for this shift that is happening? Can you imagine what it's going to be like if we are raptured at the end of the tribulation? Government is going to rise up with its plans and its purposes. And it's going to come with a tongue that is going to be easily palatable to our ears. It will come in ways that will deceive us into believing it's okay. It will cause us to come to a place in our faith to think, yeah, that's okay that California is fining a church $50,000 a week because they're meeting. That's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be. Chess. The war is at hand. And I know you and I alike have sat through those services where that end times teacher came in and just gave us goosebumps. Man, I'm ready to get out. And maybe he was wrong. Mike Tyson knows the battle's coming. So he's in the gym, he's working out, he's getting ready. And I would hate to be his opponent. I think even Drayson would probably say, no, no, no. The battle is here. the battle was being lost within the minds of the Ephesian church, comfortable with sin, comfortable with abandoning the purpose that God set before them. The unguarded mind was the normal place for the Ephesians, the Ephesian church. And then this is the sad thing. The unguarded mind is that the watchman of first love was rejected. And that's all. I want you to think about this. Love is a watchman. Love, first love for God is a watchman because it pierces again for the things that are coming to conquer us. When first love is set down, the watchman says, okay, you can take a break. I think we're safe now. You can clock out. First love is a consistent and a constant watchman looking for the enemies that are coming. Without first love, we are vulnerable to be deceived. But I have this against you, Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, which echoes down to the churches of today, including us, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. How sad Christianity would be if the beginning was the fullness. How sad that would be. But for many, that's the case. Come get your ticket, put it in your pocket, and live however you were living before. You got your ticket, you got the grace card, everything's going to be okay now. Nothing could be further from the truth. The gospel of demons being proclaimed in the name of Jesus. How do we know? Read your Bible more than you read your denominational literature or the preachers that tickle your ear the most. Read your Bible. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. See, the battle is won or lost within the mind. The mind is such a precious gift from God. Our thoughts determine victory or defeat. And as we conclude this portion of this message today, I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And I know we have that up here. I don't think our folks by way of Zoom do, but pull out your YouVersion Bible or your Bible that you have sitting there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We are walking through 1 Peter as a congregation. And as we go before those set amount of scriptures that are allotted for each day, all I would ask is that we could do this in oneness and we could do this together and we could ask God, reveal your word to me and prepare me for such a time as this. And as we read, may we pray for one another as God brings illumination to our understanding. May we pray prayers to see that truth alive in the people of Capital City Church. Can we, in all of the busyness, come before the Word of God for more than just us, but for our body? Can we? Can we? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Peter is preparing the church for what is coming. And when he does, this was 2,000 years ago. But this word is life. It's living. And it carried forth to us. And the word says, so prepare your minds for action. Mike, you're going to have to step away from some stuff on that plate. But mentally, you got to get your mind ready for that match that's coming. Prepare your mind for inaction. Does it say that? No. Prepare your mind for the greatest the greatest vacation trip in your life, called the pre-tribulation rapture. Imagine just being taken out. And I love the image, and it may be true. We just go up, we're going to have a feast for 7 years while all hell is breaking out on earth. And guess what? There will be people that are Christians still on the earth that will grow during that time. That's why that was one of the ones that always mess with me. Well, how's this thing happening? And here's the beauty. Prepare not for early exit, but prepare for action. And I'll raise my hand the first. That which is warring against us right now has had detriment to me. The words that are lifted up by the authority of man have had detriment to me. The fervency of love in the season has been challenged for my relationship with Jesus Christ. And all along, God says, hey, son, I told you, be prepared for action. Be prepared for action. So prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober. And this is the Amplified Version. In spirit. Steadfast, self-disciplined. Look at that word there. Spiritually and morally alert. Sober. When the fighter steps in the ring, he does everything he can psychologically to put fear in the heart of his opponent. The stare down. All of the stuff that goes along with the mental game. Satan uses a mental game against us. He will play us, and his choice tool is fear. And the fearful church is not the faithful church. So when fear comes, be sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. God, killing babies is evil. I will not stand with those that approve killing children is okay. That's not being spiritually alert. It is not having a sober mind. It is not being self-disciplined. It is not being spiritually or morally alert. And then it goes further. Fix your hope. How's your hope right now? With all of this stuff happening, how is your hope? If it is fixed on our bank account, we might have a problem. As a pastor, if it is fixed on how many people are coming to church, there might be a problem. If it is fixed on life being easy, there might be a problem. If it is fixed to avoid struggle, there might be a problem. My hope is completely fixed upon my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which nothing catches him off guard. And nothing in this life will be able to weaken us where we abandon Jesus. The only thing that will weaken us is our unwillingness to repent and to follow after Jesus and to love him with his ability in us, with everything that is in us. He does that. We don't. Just make room for it. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God. Listen closely. That is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now please listen to this. I need you to grab a hold of this. Please grab a hold of this. Peter is writing to that generation that will see as well the return of Jesus Christ. He is preparing the church for days like this. And he's saying, wrath is coming, but not against you, Ron. It's not coming against you. Wrath is coming to this earth, but it's not coming against those who trust in Jesus. There will be a seal upon you. Will it be easy? No. Will it spare your life? Maybe not. Will it sometimes put you in places that you never thought you would endure? Yes. But the wrath of God is not being poured out against you. It's being poured out against those that stand with evil, that refuse to repent. And again, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Those who call his name are not always those that are called of his name. We must know the difference. And look at this beautiful image. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Here's the image. We will not bow our knee to evil. We will not stand with leaders that are not standing with us as a church. We will not sign on to the mindset of evil. We will not. Well, there's consequences. You know, right now, if we proclaim truth, there's consequences. So what's going to happen? Don't say truth. Because there's consequences for that too that are worse, greatly worse. And you press on in an age where evil is intensifying. To a point where now evil is reaching its hand into the congregation and telling you, if you do this, you will be fined. If you do this, you risk going to jail. If you say that, then that is hate, and you will be locked up for that. Well, God's word is not hate. But shut your mouth unless you want the consequences. And you hold on to truth. You live in truth. You say, okay, I will not send my kids to be indoctrinated by a spirit of evil. You think that happens? It does. The more the government has control over our schools, the more their ideology is being seeded in the hearts of our babies. Why is there so many young people seeking to establish Marxism and socialism in this country? Because they've been indoctrinated in school to trust it. And anyone that has been a student of history knows that socialism and Marxism destroys a country. It begins with everybody's going to get stuff, and it ends with some source of stuff is now depleted, and we can't feed everybody. We can't make everybody content. Lord, I will not bow my knee to evil. Just like Daniel. I'm going to pray. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, you can't pray to your God, he was manipulated. What did Daniel do? Prayed. What will we do in those times? But it looks like this. Drayson, you know this with all of your heart. When you endure in faithfulness unto God, life doesn't get any better when it comes to peace within. Meaning this, the hellish activity that surrounds us, when we do what is right, that peace is elevated above the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Life doesn't get any better than that. And at that day, when Jesus returns, there's going to be the remnant, the ones that stood faithful. And they're going to see him in the clouds. They're going to be brought up to meet him in the air with a new immortal body. And they're going to come forward down upon this earth and to set up a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on what? This earth. And we're going to be part of that. Do I want to miss that because I might get uncomfortable? Right? Or I might want to, I might in my mind and in my deceptive heart feel more at peace with my perception of Scripture rather than what Scripture is really saying. Right? God tells us truth for a reason. I mean, because he is truth, but also to elevate our lives to the greatest place they can be. Lies ensnare and entrap. Lies manipulate and deceive and take advantage. Truth sets us free. And then verse 14. Live as obedient children of God. Don't live as obedient children to what the ways of the world are. Meaning, if you have a government that is coming against the purposes and is asking you to do something evil, you got a choice. We are not as Christians to follow evil government. And people twist Scripture, and maybe down the road we'll be able to do a message just on that fact. It's kind of like this. Paul, a citizen of Rome, was unfairly treated. And then when they found out he was a citizen, they wanted just to have him leave at night. Just go, 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 get out here. We don't want to be exposed for what we did. He says, no, I'm not leaving. Well, they were directed by government to leave. He said, no. He says, the evil that you've done unto me is not of God, and it will be pronounced. And guess what he did? He held them accountable. And there are some that teach, oh, if government says it, you just do it. No, it's not true. God ordains the leaders and places them there. Even a Cyrus or a Nebuchadnezzar, right? Even those that we don't like the things that they do, God puts them there. But the ones that God puts there, if they have decrees that are evil, it is not for the church to follow. It is not for the godly to follow. Daniel didn't follow it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not follow ungodly laws. How about us? How about us? Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance. Before you knew the requirements and the transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. I'm just going to read that one more time. Live as obedient children unto God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance. Before you knew the requirements and the transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. If we can stand to our feet this morning and just bow for a moment in prayer. There is an enemy that is warring for your mind. For he seeks to set up his kingdom within the minds of man. For when the minds of men are enamored with the words that their flesh devours and delights in, the heart will follow and the actions will show the fruit of the enemy's encampment within the mind. Lord, we ask that you would renew our minds in you, Lord Jesus. And this is a very personal thing to do right now. We're stubborn people. We are stubborn people. I'm stubborn. And once I allow something to live in my ideology, in my mind, I do not surrender it easily. But the one that can cause the sword that we hold on to, which is really against the will of God, to be surrendered, is the Holy Spirit when he's invited into the mind through the mind of Christ. Lord Jesus, renew my mind. If I have alliances and trust in things that I should not, I cast it at your feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's just tell him, I cast it at your feet. The sword that I've held up, thinking it was for righteousness, but it was really for unrighteousness. I cast that sword at your feet, Lord Jesus. I surrender to the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. The mind of Christ is a gift that is offered, but we must receive it. If this is in your heart this morning, can you just say, Jesus, give me the mind of Christ. Fill my thoughts with your thoughts. Cast down thoughts that are not of you. And I receive the freedom and the liberty that your truth provides in the name of Jesus right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. Alliances are melting away in the name of Jesus. Standing in the enemy's camp is exposed now. In the name of Jesus, break it. In the name of Jesus, break it. In the name of Jesus, break the hold. Not only in our little circle, God, but in our community, in our city, in the name of Jesus. Rise up these young people, Lord. This army that is arising that will not give in to the liar. For no generation has suffered the way this generation has. And when this generation sees truth, they will be sold out. In the name of Jesus, raise up that army, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we see burning all around our country. And we say, Lord Jesus, that's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit. For what you want ablaze is the heart of man with the Spirit of God. So breathe that into this generation right now. To those that are roaming the city seeking to bring destruction and chaos, free them and make them ambassadors of freedom and truth in the name of Jesus. Can we intercede for that right now? There's a lot of hurt kids. There's a lot of kids that have been enslaved to debt in the name of you can't make it without it. They're depressed. They don't know how to see it through. But Jesus has the answer for them. Can we intercede for them in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Fervency, determination, given fully to the will of Jesus with the mind of Christ. And now this prayer is directed at our hearts. Empower me to be spiritually ready. Is that in your heart today? Ask him. Lord, make me spiritually ready. I repent of the null. I repent of the norm that is not your norm, Lord. And I say, breathe life into me, Lord Jesus, right now. If that's in your heart, just ask him. For the mind of Christ is spiritual. It has the carnal, the physical outweighed and moved out the spiritual. Think of the refreshing God wants to give you right now in the name of Jesus. And just know that these altars are open.